This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hello, welcome to this podcast. My name is Anne. I've been a volunteer here at Joy for 17 years. Please continue to support Joy. This is our 25th year and we need community support by way of donations and memberships. Support Joy now during Radiothon 2018. Head to our website, click donate now, joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
This is Joy 94.9, The Escape Hour, and we are here, Fiona, Brooke and myself, Russ Masterton. We are going to somewhere absolutely fabulous today. Southeast Asia is our destination, and as we pin the tail on the donkey, we find we're going to South Korea. Fiona, who's our guest?
Well, we are going to Korea. Not South Korea.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, we've been
our
corrected.
Our guest, Lance Rosen from Big Boy Barbecue, has been to the Seoul Food Festival. Seoul has this incredible food scene. He's been to the Seoul Food Festival just recently, and he's in the studio to talk all about Seoul and Korea and the fact that they don't call it South Korea. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, I mean, you represented Australia at the Seoul Food Festival. Tell me, how does that come about?
It's really strange, actually. I got an email. You know, you get those emails, you've won $1 million. Mm. I deleted it. I thought it was spam. And I really did. And my wife said, oh, have you seen that email? Maybe you should respond. I'm like, oh, well, you know, they want me to come and cook in Seoul. So I reopened it up and tentatively responded, saying, you know, okay, of course, I'm interested to go. You know, who wouldn't be? And they sent me back a list of, you know, these are the chefs that have been before, and then I sent them back another email going, are you sure you want me? Because all the chefs were 3, 2, and 1 Michelin star chefs, including the likes of Tetsuya from Sydney and guys from all over Europe. So I was doing very rustic food and definitely not Michelin star stuff. So I thought maybe they'd made a bit of a mistake.
They got the wrong impression, but in fact they didn't, because they were introducing a barbecue section to the festival for the first time, and you at Big Boy are the pioneers, apparently, of barbecue in Melbourne or in Australia.
Yeah, so we opened up the first barbecue restaurant in Melbourne in early 2011, and before anybody even knew what barbecue was. So shortly thereafter, about a year or so after, the guys at Fancy Hanks followed. But, you know, when we first opened, nobody even knew what we were serving. I used to get people walking in going, can I have a hamburger or quarter roast chicken and chips?
Of course, and what we're talking about is...
that sounds very Australian, doesn't it?
We are speaking specifically of low and slow American-style barbecue, which, of course, has now become so embedded into the Australian food scene, certainly in Melbourne, and I have no doubt it's the same in Sydney as well and across the country.
I think it works really well with our lifestyle in Australia because, you know, we like to cook meat and we like to cook over fire and, you know, it's standing around with mates and cooking and spending a long time cooking the meat. I think it's very good for men's mental health as well, not that women can't do it, but, you know, the guy standing around and watching a piece of meat on the barbecue for 10 or 12 hours, I mean, honestly, does anybody really care what it tastes like after you've had 12 hours worth of beers? I don't know.
That sounds very strange. You know, my only I've had barbecue in the United States, so I haven't experienced barbecue, certainly Korean style, and barbecue in the US is very I don't know, I can't quite describe it to you. It's very it's pork that's been skewered and cooked for a very long amount of time. But so your specialty is something that we all need to head down and stand around your barbecue for 12 hours with a few beers and get to know you and your team?
Well, absolutely. I think that's a good way to get to know somebody, stand around and cook barbecue. I think what people don't realise is that American-style barbecue is very regional, kind of like, you know, pasta in Italy, the wines in France, very regional. And so I wrote a cookbook called Temples of Barbecue, actually won the award for best barbecue cookbook in the world, which is how the guys at the Seoul... Thank you. Which is how the guys at the Seoul Food Festival found me through the award-winning book, and we discovered and explored American-style barbecue in its regionality in the US and wrote about that trip and then recipes for Australia.
Great.
I'm so fascinated in the fact that you went to South Korea to present American barbecue, but also to talk about the conjunction of Korean barbecue, because we know the Koreans love barbecue, Korean barbecue and Australian, Korean, American and Australian barbecue. And I'd be very interested to hear about how those three kind of join.
Well, it's quite interesting because, I mean, they're totally different styles of cooking, so they never really understood. But I'm saying to them, I have to put the meat on at 6 a.m. in the morning for dinner at 7 p.m. They never quite got the concept of that. It was quite slow to understand because there, your Korean-style barbecue is a hot fire, a grill placed on top of that. Over here, we have gas fires in the Korean restaurants here, but over there was actually charcoal. They do have good quality flavored charcoal. So I cooked on oak, Korean oak charcoal, which is very good quality. And to understand the temperature time shift and the time added to the cooking with large joints of meats as opposed to thinly sliced meats cooked quickly was quite interesting. But, I mean, in the end, it's meat cooked over fire. And so they got it. As soon as they saw it, they understood it and they understood the flavor profiles.
Wow. I've been to a couple of Korean restaurants here in Melbourne, and there's some very good ones out at Elstonwick, and there's one on Victoria Street in Richmond here. And they do. I love the way the Koreans barbecue. It's actually a bit of a social gathering for people, isn't it? Because you're all sitting around this table. You've got your hot plate in the middle of the table, and then they fire you up, and then out comes these trays of meat, and away you go. So
the one thing I did discover is they do love drinking games. So,
oh, do they? Okay.
Soju. I mean, it's soju. One shot of soju, and then they do like the depth charger with the soju in the beer. And the game they taught us was one shot, because you've got to drink it in one shot, you know. So
whoa.
That was, and that goes with the barbecue, because, you know, alcohol and fire work so well together.
Oh no! So tell us all about soju. I've heard about soju. It's like a Korean vodka or something, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know much about it other than we drank it and enjoyed it when we were drinking it. Really
fantastic. Well, everyone's got a national drink that has to come into the ad when it comes to barbecuing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And we have a listener who has actually sent us a little message about his favourite Korean phrase. Kamsi nadag. I don't know, Stephen, if I did that a good job of that. Kamsi nadag means thank you in Korean. And his favourite food is beef sashimi followed by gunmandu. Gunmandu, I don't know what that is. It sounds like a cross between a bottle of plonk and an Indian vindaloo.
And then Stephen from Coburg also said that bulgogi is another favourite dish of his. So, I mean, the Koreans just get out there with these crazy sounding dishes, don't they? So thank you, Stephen from Coburg. We're really pleased to hear from you today.
Absolutely.
But, we'll try
thanks.
A bit of that kamsanagdaggi, won't we?
We will. We've got to improve on that. Did you, Lance, have any insight on how to say thank you in Korean?
Thank you. That was about it, sorry. You know, they gave us a translator who was very good at getting the message across.
Who did you fly to Korea with?
We flew with Korea Air, who were one of the sponsors.
Yeah.
So the main event organiser was a group over there called TV Chosun, and they're involved somehow in Korea Air. So they fly us out on Korea Air, which was a great flight, actually.
Okay, and do they fly directly out of Melbourne, or did you have to go to any other?
We flew out of Sydney, so Melbourne, Sydney. We went to Sydney to pick up the smokers.
Yes.
So there were no smokers available for us in Korea.
Oh,
so
okay.
The guys at Pit Barrel in Sydney actually hooked us up with six smokers, which we took on the plane with us, believe it or not, and had to get them through customs in Korea, which was quite interesting.
I bet. They probably were like, what in the hell are you doing bringing this?
They kind of just waved us through. They saw like three trolleys full of smokers and bags and went, off you go. That's
okay.
It. And that was kind of it. You know, it was in the too hard basket.
And how long did the Korean Food Festival go for?
So we were there for a week.
Fantastic.
And when you were there, you were cooking with Korean produce. Can you run us through what you were cooking with while you were there?
Well, one thing they're famous for is their Hanwoo beef, which is these beef cattle that are raised in Korea. As you were probably aware, there's not a lot of free land for grazing, so they're smaller cattle, and they're quite highly revered, kind of like Kobe beef. And Jeju Island are famous for their water and their pigs as well, so we got meat from those areas.
And then when you had prepared the meats and it was being served, what kind of other dishes went along with that? Were they Korean dishes, or were you able to then interpret in whichever way you like?
Right, so the reason I went was to actually represent American-style barbecue and to try and show that style of food in America. So what we did was we actually took recipes out of the book Temples of Barbecue, and so the entrees were things like vegetable pickles, deviled eggs, which is that 70s classic throwback, which is just so wonderful, but you know, so not trendy. And we did pork cracklings or chicharrones. So we take the pig skin, we dry it out so it's hard like glass, and then we deep fry it so it's puffy like prawn crackers. So those were the starters. And my idea was very much barbecue is shared. It works very well with, I think, the Korean way of eating, where everything is served to the centre of the table. So everything was served to the centre of the table to share. And then the meats, we served the meats on platters with side dishes, again, family style to the centre of the table.
And now, given that Koreans have their own form of barbecue, how did they were they taken aback by what you were serving?
I think they were kind of shocked. We had a little chat to the customers beforehand. I was explaining to them that, you know, because we're smoking at low temperature, the chicken can have a pink tinge to it because you're smoking over wood. So don't be nervous that it's not raw, is the one thing that we said. And the other feedback we were given was that, you know, Koreans don't like anything that looks like it's burnt. So the beef ribs, which cook for like 9 hours, we put a lot of coarse pepper on the crust, the bark, and it becomes quite dark and chewy. So I had to explain to them, yes, you can eat it. No, it's not burnt. Mm. And I think once we got over those hurdles, the first night we did it, they were cutting off the beautiful caramelized edges. And I mean, honestly, those are the edges. I could leave the middle and just eat the outside. But, you know, and so once we explained to them that that's, you know, you eat that and it's not a health risk, everyone was very happy with that.
Fantastic.
Sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership this Radiothon and you could win our major prize. Premium economy flights for two from any capital city in Australia, plus 7 nights accommodation in Los Angeles, courtesy of Joy sponsor Virgin Australia.
It would be so nice.
Yes, sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership between May 1 and June 30 to be in the draw. Head to joy.org.au to sign up now or call 1-300-JOY-949. Joy, 25 years proud.
Fiona, I do believe Radiothon's still on, so this person who's just become a Joy member has got something to celebrate, don't they?
They do. Not only are they now part of the Joy family, that's the lovely Kim from Kalorama.
Oh, good on you, Kim. We love you. Welcome to the family.
Also in the running for that incredible prize, the two business class tickets to LA flying via Virgin.
Well, and I heard they've been upgraded to busy. That's
upgraded.
Fantastic, isn't it? God.
Yeah, and also you get personally greeted at the airport and walked through immigration and customs with your hands held.
How posh.
So no mixing with the hoi polloi. You'll be mixing with the hoi polloi and not mixing with... I'm getting myself all confused.
It's people who turn left are up the front. That's right, isn't that? Yes, that's right from
you'll be,
memory.
You'll be with the people who turn left instead of those that turn right.
Now, you do know that this is our South Korea show and we're having so much fun with it. Korea is just known as the country of festivals.
Is that so?
They do. They have some outrageous festivals. Now, I just love, they have a Loveland festival. Did you know that?
No, what's a Loveland
festival? Well, you go to this, a bit like the Botanical Gardens, I suppose, and they've got all these graphic sculptures of sexual organs and sexual positions.
I didn't realise that the Koreans were so...
Out there
and liberal.
Not as quite as conservative as we thought, so we might go to the Loveland Festival next year. They've also got the Jinju Lantern Festival, which is...
I love a lantern festival.
Oh, my gosh. Thousands of gorgeous lanterns floating down the river, which absolutely looks...
Stunning.
Smasharama. They've got a mud festival in July. Now, if anyone likes to get down and dirty, it's old Rusty here, and I know Mark likes a bit of mud. So there's nothing better than...
Is that why your dog likes rolling around in the mud as well? You were just complaining off air.
Yes,
but,
I was.
It takes one to no one.
That's right. She's obviously seen me mud wrestle down at the park just once too often over the past Melbourne summer. But, so a Korean mud festival sounds like a good time, doesn't it?
It does.
Now, my personal favourite... And I know anyone who loves a bit of Korean food will love this book, is the Make Your Own Kimchi Festival, which is every October.
I love doing that. You know, I get to get together with some girlfriends once every 6 months or so, and we have a culture club where we make our own kimchi.
Do you?
With the particular type of chili that has to go, Korean chili, the red chili that goes into the kimchi. Don't ask me what the name of that particular chili is. But
well, that is a bit of a segue.
Yes, it is a bit of a segue.
Well done, you.
So we are here with Lance Rosen from Big Boy Barbecue, who has just returned from the Seoul Food Festival, which is the biggest food and one of the best known food festivals in Southeast Asia. Tell us all about the food festival and why people should go. I mean, what happened? Where did you, what? Tell us all about it.
Well, that's fantastic. They're bringing all these chefs in from all over the world. So they're bringing top talent, myself included, of course, and they're bringing in these guys from everywhere as far as France, Belgium, chocolatiers. And just bringing a great collection of people to present food in different styles.
Wow. And what did you experience when you were there?
Well, one of the really interesting things they did was they took all the chefs out on a tour to a place called the Seoul Farm, where there's this little old lady, she's third generation, and what they're doing is they're fermenting soybeans and making soy sauce and making chili paste and bean paste out near Seoul. And I got to try a 14-year-old aged soy sauce, which was absolutely amazing. It's quite unlike anything I've ever had before.
So it's fourth generation and they're all made, and you mentioned these 100-year-old pots.
Yeah, so because the pots breathe and, you know, they'll let off evaporation, and so they're out there in the sun fermenting and doing their thing, and fermentation is such a big thing at the moment and becoming even more popular, and it's a coming back to what we always used to do, you know, fermented foods, meats cooked or food cooked over fire. And, I discovered a very interesting paste when I was in Korea called samjang, and they eat that kind of like you have like sangchoi bao, with the apologies to any Korean people who get offended by that. So what you do is you're getting different leaves and you're putting the samjang, which is like a paste, in with your meat and in with your vegetables in a lettuce leaf, wrapping it up and popping that in your mouth. And
it's
quite cross-cultural, but just adding a whole unique Korean flavour to that as well, which was amazing.
That sounds so delicious, and there are probably some Korean supermarkets around Melbourne where you could possibly buy that if you knew exactly what you were looking for.
I must say there is one in Little Bourke Street in the middle of Chinatown. They have a lot of Korean stuff, and it was my plan to go there afterwards. I am addicted to chili, so I got a taste of all these different flavours. So I need to go and do some shopping once I'm finished here.
So did you, we always think of kimchi as being the quintessential Korean dish. Did you eat a lot of kimchi when you were there?
Breakfast, lunch and dinner, it's everywhere.
I honestly, I swear to God, I don't know how you guys do it, because I get bloated and then it's like a... You know, God, it,
maybe you have
it's like a major farting session for me. I have to apologise. For... Do I?
You know, I mean, I think with kimchi, you're not supposed to... I mean, I love it. I could eat it just like out of the jar. But you're not supposed to be... maybe you're just eating too much.
See, my partner, he's our cook at home, and you know, I've banned kimchi from his recipes because I honestly get so bloated, and you know, it's embarrassing at work, obviously, and you know, we just...
I think your gut flora is out of whack.
Well, it must be, because I can't eat kale and I can't eat kimchi because I'm floating down the street.
What other fermented foods can you not eat?
I'm good with both. They're the only two I can't eat, but he gets a whole jar of kimchi when he makes a meal and throws the whole thing in there and makes it into a some sort of casserole, Korean casserole.
Can I come to your house for dinner?
It's absolutely yummy. It's
that
absolutely yummy. But I, you know, for me, it's just a recipe for,
disaster.
A disaster, so to speak. Yes.
Yeah, I love homemade kimchi in small quantities. I fry it up in the morning and put some eggs in it. So kimchi eggs. so good.
So, Lance, could you make your own kimchi now that you've been to the Korean Food Festival?
I'd give it a go.
One of
the things we did do was they got all the chefs to make kimchi for orphans as part of the event. And so they set us up with these hats and goggles for the eyes to protect you from the chili and these big, beautiful gloves. There's a picture of me somewhere. And it's not pretty. And, you know, so what they do is they provide you with a paste. And what they do is they're fermenting the cabbage for 2 or 3 days before you get it to start the fermentation process. Then you're putting the chili. You've got to get it all the way in between the layers. And then you've got to wrap it up nice and tight and then let it sit. And what they're doing as a charitable thing is they're making this for orphans. And I thought that was a wonderful thing to do and to get the chefs involved in. And, you know, to actually give back to the people.
Now, did you know much about Korea before you left? What prep did you do before you went? Because I know being a travel agent, I couldn't even tell you the last time that we had a customer walk through the door or email us and say, you know, I want to go to Korea. And I'm one of these travel agents that I love going to places where people aren't putting their hands up and say, take me there. So Korea's definitely on my list. Did you wouldn't have thought of going there?
I did some research. I went to Kunang Road in Carnegie and ate some food.
See, that's where it is, little Korea town.
Yeah,
isn't
a lot
it?
Of, lot yeah. of, we're very lucky to have many Korean students and people in
so
Melbourne.
I said Elston Week before. Yeah. It's
so I went up to Kunang Road and ate some Korean food. And honestly, the whole thing was finalized at the, you know, the 11th hour. So I didn't have a lot of time to do preparation other than work out what I needed to take and how I was going to get smokers there. So I went very underprepared, but we were given a translator when we got there. And we got there and I said to her, well, I've got a free night, where should I go? And she sent me to a place called Myeongdong. It's an outdoor area with lots of street food, which I'm a fan. I mean, just point me in the direction of the street food and stall after stall after stall. And they're very well known in Seoul for their cosmetics and beauty products. So every other shop was cosmetics and beauty products and, you know, street food. So we had some interesting street food walking around.
Tell us what you sort of had. What were some of your discoveries?
Well, interestingly, there was one that looked like it was all hot dogs wrapped up in different pastries, but it was all fish cakes. Huh? So it was all different kinds of fish cakes. That could be a nasty surprise if you're not expecting it. And, you know, we actually had a guy who was doing lobster tails with chili sauce and melting cheese on top. And that was, I mean, just from a visual perspective, you know, I mean, if you're walking down the street and somebody's handing you a lobster tail, you're going to take it, surely.
I'm sure Andrew McConnell will be chasing that lobster tail with chili and melted butter, but that sounds incredible.
And one of the other things we had was something called, I've got to get the pronunciation right, so apologies, hot dog. It sounds like hot dog, but it's hot dog. And what it is, it's like a soft pastry with different fillings and it's pan fried, so it becomes like a flat cake, traditionally served with sugar, so it's sweet. But I had a version that tasted a bit like a Chico roll, which is weird.
I love it.
I haven't had a Chico roll since...
Someone the other day was telling me, reminding me, because it's been many, many years, that a Chico roll is actually a vegetarian roll.
It is. And you can still buy them at your local fish and chip shop. We've got one in queue that you can go across and ask for a Chico roll for lunch if you want to.
Did you know only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially? If you love what we do, please show your support this Radiothon. Allies, there's a new way to show your love. Did you vote yes for marriage equality? Continue to show your support for the LGBTI community. Become an Out Loud Ally of Joy. Receive bragging rights and a pack of Joy Out Loud Ally badges to wear proudly. Head to joy.org.au and click the Ally button on the homepage.
You're on the Escape Hour. It's a cool and breezy Saturday afternoon here in Melbourne.
It's 24 hours for
but we are actually talking about all things
kimchi.
Hot. Kimchi. Korea, which is not always hot. As we know, Seoul is, has four seasons. Lance, now tell us, what else did you discover about Seoul that makes you want to go back when you don't have to work so hard and so you can visit again as a holiday?
I'm really excited to go back because there was so much going on. It was so dynamic and so vibrant that we really never got enough chance to explore. I wanted to go to the markets and all that kind of stuff. I'm a market guy. You take me to a new town, first place I'm looking for is the market. I think you get a really good sense of where you are when you go to a local market.
And you're so right there. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go in the world. You should go and try to find the local, whether it be the community food market or just a food supermarket, it's a great way to just visually see what you're going to be eating on your plate when you go to any restaurant in a country, isn't it?
And you get a real sense of the people in the markets. I mean, the other thing I like to do is supermarkets, because you like to look at these products that you've never seen before and go, what? Is that?
Yeah, yeah, I'll never forget visiting my first supermarket in Italy and pulling out of the fridge a whole frozen octopus, tentacles and everything. And it was like frozen, just like a frozen chicken, but it was a whole octopus.
I couldn't have done it.
No. It was it wrapped in plastic, so you could pick it up.
Have you ever had, sorry to digress, but that black ink pasta is not. No,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, Cavallo Nero.
That's it. That's it.
Squid, well, you don't like that either.
No, black squid. No. Anyway, we're talking about kimchi, aren't we?
It's red and spicy. Interestingly enough, when you go to a Korean restaurant there, they got kimchi on the side. And every time I ordered the side of kimchi, they go, oh, you don't need the whole serve. You only need half.
Also, they are aware of their Western palates.
Well, I could have eaten the whole thing. So I felt, maybe a little bit discriminated against
them. What sort of desserts do they like over there? Because Fiona and I just go off on a nice dessert, don't we?
We do, absolutely. Well,
be honest, never had any desserts in the restaurants, but they had a lot of sweet things out and about. So, like these fried pastries with sugar and the different ice creams and stuff like that.
And as you were talking about street food earlier, that is really becoming the thing to do when you're travelling these days. Is whilst you can go to any city and go to beautiful restaurants and experience beautiful food, if you really want to get out amongst the locals, the street food and the street markets is the way to go, isn't it?
That's where the chef's eat.
They do. Exactly, you're right. Right. You're right. Yeah. So.
And also, you get to have those wonderful interactions when you're buying things from people, because they want to show you. They want to give you a little bit of an education. They want to interact with you. Often they want to practice their English a little bit. But it's a really wonderful way to meet people who are the growers of the food, and the little old ladies who knit little things that they sell alongside the food. And it's a lovely, lovely way to experience a country.
Google Translate is your friend. I mean, the one thing we did do, my little travel tip for Korea, is like Japan, we got the little pocket Wi-Fis. Mm-hmm. So you get your data and you use that as your thing while you're walking around. So you always have maps and you always have Google Translate wherever you are, and you're not using up your data. And that was pretty good for us.
Oh, that's a great tip. So what was that again? I always love new travel tips.
It's called a pocket Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And it's this tiny little thing, and it gives you Wi-Fi wherever you are. So we got ours picked up at the airport and dropped off at the airport. So we arranged to have it there. And I think it was $4 a day for, a couple of gig of data.
That's fantastic.
And so you just take your phone and you look for a network, and you got your own little network there. Yeah. And I use that in Japan as well, and that was fantastic for traveling around when you need a map and you're not sure where you are, or you're talking to a stallholder and there's no language commonality. Google Translate is fantastic like that.
Fantastic.
And of course, Korea is famous for having some of the fastest internet speeds anywhere.
Right.
We are in the dark ages in here, as we probably know, with our internet speed.
Totally.
And the NBN. It's an embarrassment. Anyway, so that is another exciting thing. So what else do you want to go and see in Korea when you go back?
Well, that's my starting point for everything. Start at a market, work your way around. They're known for the different areas and the different tea houses and the different areas to get teas and stuff like that. Mm. If I was taking my family, I'm sure my wife and daughter would be very interested in the cosmetics. Seoul is pretty well known for their cosmetic ranges, and my assistant who came with me had a big shopping list of things she needed to come back with.
Oh, how funny. Wow, I never thought about that aspect, but of course there's so many parts of, when there has been many of us that have been. Normally on this program, one of us has been to the country of where our guest talking of, so we could have a frame of reference. As we mentioned, if anyone out there has any tips for Seoul, and if anyone has been there, we'd love to hear from you. 0427 JOY 949, or phone 1300 JOY 949, or email us on air at joy.org.au.
Did you stay somewhere nice while you were there, Lane?
Yeah, so we stayed at the Walker Hill Hotel. It's kind of a little bit on the east side of Seoul, out of the way. It's known as it's a venue hotel, so functions, weddings, that kind of stuff. The reason we stayed there is that a lot of the events were being held there. Mm. So one of the areas we had our events, so we had three different events. We had two dinners at the Walker Hill Hotel called Camping in the City. So they have a glamping area, glam camping, and they got American-style teepees set up, which is weird, where people sit and eat. So we did two dinners there on the Thursday and the Friday night. And then on the Saturday, they had, similar to Taste of Victoria, they had a picnic at the bridge. So they closed a bridge over the river. It's a double-story bridge. It closed the bottom level, and they just had food trucks and vendors coming to do food there. And so the Saturday we served about 600 meals out of these pit barrel barbecues. We did duck and chicken with some pickles and some coleslaw and some Lutosa potatoes. Lutosa is a Belgian potato producer, and they're very well known for their fries and potatoes there, and they sponsored us the potatoes, which was fantastic.
And what was the weather like when you were there?
Summer and gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was so nice to step out of the Melbourne cold. I mean, I like the cold, but it was nice to have a break from it, to be honest.
I know the best time to go to South Korea is March to May. It's before the peak of their summer, and it's just beautiful sunny days and a wonderful time to go. So
everybody over there was quite adamant about how harsh their winters are and how they like to holiday in winter and not be in Seoul during the winter. But the summer was a gorgeous day. It's 70% humidity, which is a bit sticky, but we loved it. It was great to be out.
Mm. Another thing that comes to mind with Korea is high tech and everything's futuristic. Did you find that while you were
Absolutely.
There?
We went to one of the places I went to. There was a robot making coffees. So what you do is you go up to a vending machine, you type in what coffee you want, and then behind the glass door there's a robot arms. It's making you these coffees, and it's vending you the coffees, which was quite amazing. So there's a good little video on my Instagram, I'm sure, that I put up there.
Well, speaking of just a slight digression, I receive emails because I have a business involving hospitality as well, and I receive emails sometimes about products that as a hospitality venue I might like. Now, I don't have a hospitality venue, so none of them are of use to me, so I usually just delete them. However, I received during the week an email from a Chinese company talking about their service robots.
Wow.
One was called Amy.
Yeah.
One was called Alice, and another one was called Snow, and it described to me how Alice or Amy, they could actually take orders, they could pick up food, they could deliver food, they could recognize obstacles and things that were in its way, they could return, and I should consider getting one for my restaurant.
Well,
I posted it to my Facebook page and went, what the...
Well, as we all do.
I was quite... And also, of course, shockingly, they were called Amy and Alice, because I'm sure that they probably never would have thought about calling it Bob or John.
Or Fiona.
That's quite funny. I mean, I don't know if you follow the guy on Facebook. He's got the site Bitchy Waiter. Do you ever see that one?
No.
No, that is, okay, it's the hospitality one. He's a guy in the US, and he's a waiter, and he's, hits at the customer, and it's the customer comes with a side of sarcasm. I wonder if the robots come with a side of sarcasm. It's always necessary in hospitality, I think.
I think the robots would benefit from having the side of sarcasm, because otherwise people are going to tread all over them and treat them like dirt.
Well, it's all going to be happening in Korea, I would imagine, in the future. Now, look, we just come to that time of the show where it is $799 approximately. You can get bargain return airfares from Melbourne or Australian capitals to Seoul. So if you're wanting to go to South Korea after our fabulous show today, have a look for that bargain $799 airfare. As far as GLPTI rights go, GI rights go, there's no such thing as same-sex marriage in South Korea. Same-sex sexual activity is legal, but the Koreans are very private people. And they certainly, you can't adopt children if you're part of our community over there. You can't serve in the military. So there's a long way to go. There's nothing in their constitution about our community. So it certainly is like very many other Asian cultures. It's, just be tread carefully when you go there own and don't flaunt your sexuality, which out of respect to the way South Koreans feel about sexuality. So there you go.
Okay, thanks for that tip.
Now, we do have our question of the day that we always ask.
Question
Fiona,
of the week.
And Lance, I think, is ready for it.
Yes.
What is it, Fiona?
Well, Lance, we have a question we ask all of our guests. Do you fold or do you roll?
I'm a roll.
Oh, a roller.
Okay, yes. That's interesting. There goes that goes down on the survey form. Now, interestingly enough, we might have to change
What are the odds? I mean, what are we up to in percentage-wise?
I would say that we probably have a higher percentage of people that roll. Occasionally we get a folder and we're a little bit surprised.
They're terrified of the folders. They're a little bit too anal for us, aren't they?
That's right. The folding is complicated. Uh-huh. And then, of course, then we get a fair amount of people like Russ and I who go both ways.
That's right. We've always been bi, haven't we?
That's right.
I buy my tote and I throw them in there like there's no tomorrow.
Close to a fold, a roll and then a twist.
Well, you could.
I'm a bit of a fan of the stuffer.
I love stuffing too, yes.
Stuffing in all the corners.
Lance, is there any way possible that you could sum up your trip to Korea in one sentence? Because I know our guests would love to go and visit Korea after listening to you talk about it today.
It was absolutely surreal and somewhere I'd love to get back to.
And communication was no problem, even with your Google Translate, you just felt welcome there and you really
exactly right.
It.
I think everybody, you know, you go in, you're foreign in a country, you're trying to chat to people, everybody wants to interact with you and everybody's making an effort. And, you know, I didn't feel out of sorts, even when we didn't have a translator with us. You know, everybody really made an effort to, you know, with hand gestures, and I can get food in any restaurant, no problem. And if you want to order a drink, there's no problem with that. You just got to put money on the bar.
Well, thank you for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on our show. Fiona, who have we got on next week?
Well, next week we are going to Colombia.
Goodness gracious me.
We are sourcing coffee in Colombia. I know we said that was going to be this week, but I got confused. So, and we do have a brand new membership, Beth from Geelong. Thank you so much. Welcome, Beth.
My old hometown. Thank you for joining us. We welcome you to the Joy family. And you're in the draw for that fabulous prize
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. So everyone tune in next week when we go to Colombia. And have a great week. Thank you, Lance.
Yes, it's been great having you here, Lance. And goodbye, Korea.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.